Mir?
Yo.
Yo. Love the shirt. Now, you're a numbers guy, so a few numbers I think are interesting. So about 80 years, we've had a kind of a consistent post-world order, and maybe 40 years, we've had a consistent economic order where we've had, you know, globalism, free trade, lower barriers, you know, it's created a lot of prosperity. It's reduced the amount of extreme poverty by insane amounts. And now for about 101 days, we've had other. So we have, you know, so for those who don't know, Nir Bhardia, CEO of the world's largest hedge fund, Bridgewater. Nir, what's going on? I mean, today, by the way, we saw the markets, I think, closed, you know, or they're closing down 1%, U.S. One quarter of negative growth. So what's going on?
So I'm worried about this because today was so amazing, and I feel like I'm going to bring the concern. But it is important that we wrap our head around what's happening, and where you're starting is exactly what we need to start, which is we are in a new world. All of us here grew up in a world that was basically headed in this one direction of, like you said, globalization, increasing trust, increasing efficiency, removal of barriers, increasing productivity. That created tremendous gains. There's a good conversation to be had about how those gains were distributed, because a lot of them were distributed unequally, but they did, like you said, pulled many, many people out of poverty. The rise of China, emerging economies, they also had other consequences. So a part of how we created those gains and efficiencies is hollowing out basically the middle class and the manufacturing base in the Western world. In addition to that, you guys must remember that the other side of kind of the efficiency of global supply chains was codependency. So in COVID, remember, you were trying to buy something simple, but you couldn't get it because a ship needed to get from somewhere to somewhere. Or even when you kind of saw the Ukraine-Russia war start, you saw how global supply chains of energy could be weaponized. Point is that if you take those factors...
Africa couldn't get fertilizer.
Correct. So if you take kind of those things, the rise of China, the hollowing out of the middle class and the developed world, the realization of the vulnerabilities of global supply chains, that led to profound, profound political changes in the Western world. This is not just the last 100 days. This is deeper. It's in Canada. It's in Europe. And it's putting us on a path. If we were, throughout our lifetime, heading down the path of globalization, we are now headed the exact other way, what we at Bridgewater call modern mercantilism. This is a world where instead of efficiency, it's about self-sufficiency. And if you overlay on that the technological disruption that's coming, this is one of the most uncertain times that we would be witnessing in our lifetime.
But tell us about that term. Because mercantilism, that was very in vogue in the 1700s. So what does modern mercantilism mean?
But not really. I mean, China's a good example for our mercantilist country. So the gist is, everything you know about the world that you've been living in, think 180 the other direction. Meaning, again, instead of collaboration, lack of trust. Instead of let's do this together, let's protect each other from one another. Instead of efficiency, self-sufficiency. So all these words that you're hearing, like tariffs or onshoring, these are all policies that are meant to turn the world completely 180. And it's super important to say, because some people might say, you know, this is a markets thing. It's not going to impact me. Globalization impacted us tremendously. I said earlier that so many people were pulled out of poverty because of global efficiency. The pie was getting bigger. The pie, all things held equal, could easily get smaller. When the pie gets smaller, the weakest people in the world are going to suffer from this. Another example, which is important, think about the biggest challenges humanity is facing, right? Climate change, deforestation. Think about proliferation of weapons or how we're going to handle AI in a safe way. No one country, no matter how self-sufficient it is, could face those problems by itself, which means we're set up for a very, very complicated world. It's super important that we understand it and make good decisions.
Well, I've been watching the last year. You know, Bridgewater and GC have kind of been on this world tour. I don't know whether you were anticipating this or you were just kind of trying to get a temperature of what's going on. But tell me what you've been up to for the last year with Global Citizen.
So Bridgewater, some of our team are right here. For 50 years, Bridgewater has been focused on building the best understanding of how the world works. This is what we do. We take the best humans we can find anywhere in the world. We take the best technology. We put them together. and we model how the world works and what is likely to happen. We take that and we use that for the benefit of our clients, and we also use that to advise policymakers, heads of state. Now, it could seem obvious, but in a world where there's so much disinformation, one of the biggest problems that we have is decision makers are making decisions based on false data and false information. Look at what's happening right now. So when Ajay Banga, the president of the World Bank, and Hugh Evans, and Mick and I were sitting and talking a year ago about the replenishment of IDA, this is the fund that gives concessional loans to the 75 poorest countries in the world, many of them in Africa. And we were saying, well, how do we make the investment case so people actually understand how this works and what's going to be the impact on the global economy? Things like demographics. There's a collapse of demographics in the Western world. There is a peak of demographics in Africa. How do people understand how that's going to play out over time? That let us, this team that is right here, do research together and kind of model for the world and for decision makers why we should be investing in IDA. That ended up with GC putting us front and center on the world stage. That led to the biggest IDA fund in the history of IDA, more than $100 billion. Now, it's not enough, but man, that impacted millions and millions of lives.
That's what GC's about. It's about change at scale, and we need scale right now. Again, I was looking at the headlines as the markets were closing. A lot of bad news. I hope you have some good news. I know you're working on some stuff with GC. What can you preview here that maybe can give us some hope?
So I hope I scared you a little bit. I hope I created urgency with how the world is changing and why it's so, so important that we actually wrap our heads around it and understand it. Because of that, we are going to evolve our partnership with Global Citizens. We're putting together what we call Forecasting the Future, a Modern Economics Challenge. You'll see a video in a second, but the gist of the video is that we are opening up Bridgewater's meritocracy, where the best ideas win at Bridgewater. Now the best ideas are going to win wherever they come from in the world, in order to find the brightest minds that can help us understand how this new world is evolving, who are going to be the winners, the losers, what are the mechanics underneath this, and hopefully we can face that world together.
We're democratizing ideas. We need some good ones. Anybody have some good ideas out there? We need you. Nir, thanks for everything you're doing. Again, we need you, but we need everybody. And I can't wait to see some of the ideas that come out of this. So appreciate your time.
Thank you.